Madhya Lila, Chapter 3. All glories to Lord Vishvambhar, the omnipotent Supreme Lord of all living entities. He is the beloved Lord of Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, and all the pure devotees of the Lord, who have captured him by their unalloyed devotion. I, Vrindavan Das, am a very wretched and miserable person. So, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please instill within me the mood of devotion and redeem me from this ocean of material nescience. The devotees frequently floated on waves of transcendental bliss, seeing the manifestations of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic mood. Lord Chaitanya's devotees were as dear to him as his very life. Chanting Krishna's name and weeping bitterly in separation from the Lord, Lord Chaitanya embraced his beloved devotees, and the devotees gathered around him, crying in ecstatic joy of love of God. The devotees engaged in devotional service experienced love of God in association with Lord Chaitanya. Even stone-like hearts melted at the sight of the Lord's ecstatic manifestations. The devotees found no more interest in wealth, family, children, etc. Day and night they remained by the side of the Lord, chanting Krishna's name. Lord Gaurachandra became totally absorbed in love of Krishna. He exhibited different devotional moods, finding inspiration from the topics the devotees discussed. In the devotional mellow of servitude, he would cry for hours as if Mother Ganga had descended through his eyes. Then in a jolly mood, he laughed for hours. And when he fell unconscious, he remained without breathing for several hours. At times, when he became aware of his Supreme Personality, he would say, I am him, the Supreme Lord, and laugh. Where is that old man, Advaita Acharya, the one who brought me here from my spiritual abode? I will fulfill his desire and distribute love of Godhead to every home. The next moment, the Lord cried out, O Krishna, O my beloved Lord, and weeping, he would tie his feet with his long curly tresses. Then he repeated the sloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Akura came to take away Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. He fell to the ground like a stick, offering his obeisances as if he were Akura. Absorbed in ecstatic trance, he said, O Nanda, let us take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura and see the great festivals at the palace where they are performing the Dhammajagya sacrifice. In this way, Lord Chaitanya exhibited so many ecstatic moods. This gave unlimited joy to all of the devotees present there. One day, the Lord heard the pastimes of Krishna in his incarnation as a boar, Lord Varaha. Roaring, he rushed to Murari Gupta's house. Lord Chaitanya had a special love for Murari Gupta, just like Lord Ramachandra had a special love for Hanuman. When Lord Gaurachandra arrived at Murari Gupta's house, Murari Gupta received the Lord with great respect, offering obeisances to the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord hurried past him shouting, Boar, Boar! Murari Gupta was left dumbfounded, looking all around him. The Lord entered the temple room of Lord Vishnu and saw a beautiful water pot standing in the corner. Just at that moment, the Lord took the form of Lord Varaha. Absorbed in this mood, he lifted the water pot with his tusks, and roaring loudly like a boar, he stood there with his four hooves. The Lord ordered Murari Gupta, Offer prayers to me, Murari. Murari remained dumbfounded. Amazed by this extraordinary sight, no words came to his mouth. The Lord then said, Speak up, Murari, speak up. You do not have to fear. Don't you know my supreme identity? Trembling with fear, Murari pleaded with the Lord, saying, O Lord, you yourself know how to glorify yourself and offer prayers. Lord Anantashesh, who holds the entire creation on just one of his hoods, has manifested 1,000 mouths to glorify you, yet he laments that he cannot find the limits of your glories. Who is more capable than Anantashesh to glorify you? The entire material universe follows the instructions of the Vedas, yet these very Vedas are able to fully reveal your transcendental, absolute nature. I have heard that there are an unlimited number of universes in the material creation, and that they all emanate from the pores of your transcendental body. You are the fully independent supreme autocrat, and you are always blissful. How is it possible for the limited Vedic literature to describe the pastimes which you perform according to your own sweet will? Therefore, O Lord, only you know yourself fully, and others can know you only if you reveal yourself to them through your causeless mercy. What ability do I possess to offer you prayers and glorify you? Saying this, Murari Gupta fell flat on the floor, offering obeisances to the Lord. Lord Varaha was pleased with Murari Gupta's words. Then, expressing anger at the Vedic literatures, he spoke out loud, "The Vedas have the audacity to say that I have no hands, no legs, no mouth, and no eyes. There is a mischievous sannyasi living in Kashi who teaches his students. That rascal tries to mutilate my transcendental form. He studies the Vedas and teaches others, but he does not accept my transcendental form. As a result of such blasphemy, he was attacked by the dreaded disease, leprosy, but he could not understand the import of it. I am the Lord of all sacrifices, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. There are no imperfections in my transcendental form. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are always engaged in glorifying my supreme transcendental position and nature. A mere touch of my body can spiritualize and purify everything. Yet that rascal is so insolent that he proclaims that my transcendental form is non-existent. Carefully hear my opinion, Murari Gupta. I will reveal to you that which is not manifest even in the Vedas. I accepted the incarnation of a boar to lift the material world out of the waters of nescience. Know me to be the ultimate goal of the Vedas. The purpose of my present incarnation is to propagate the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. In this incarnation, as in other incarnations, I will annihilate the miscreants for the protection and pleasure of my devotees. I cannot tolerate my devotees being threatened and tortured. I will even kill my own son to protect my beloved devotees. This is not a lie, Murari. Listen attentively. In my boar incarnation, when I lifted the earth, Mother Earth became impregnated by my touch. She gave birth to my son named Narg, who was very strong and powerful. I gave my son all religious instructions. He became a very powerful king and dutifully protected the demigods, Brahmins, spiritual master, and the devotees. However, the hand of destiny changed everything. Due to the influence and bad association of King Venu, he became a criminal and was cruel to my devotees. Any aggression or violence towards my devotees is totally intolerable to me, so I killed my son to protect my devotees. I am revealing all these confidential matters to you because you have been serving me for many births." Murari Gupta was overwhelmed by the Lord's presence and narration, and he wept with joy. All glories to Sri Gaurachandra and Sri Murari Gupta. All glories to Lord Varahadev, the protector of his devotees. In this way, Lord Chaitanya went to the homes of all his devotees and by his causeless mercy revealed his real supreme identity to them. The devotees and servants recognized their supreme Lord and their hearts were filled with ecstatic bliss. They now became fearless and did not care for the atheists. They went everywhere in all public places and chanted Krishna's name loudly. Day and night, the devotees spent their time with the Lord, chanting and singing Lord Krishna's holy name. Only Lord Nityananda Prabhu was missing, and this saddened Lord Gaurachandra. Lord Vishvambhar was constantly thinking about Lord Nityananda. His separation became unbearable to the Lord. Vishvambhar knew Lord Nityananda to be the Supreme Lord, Ananta Vasudev. I shall take this time to describe some transcendental facts about Lord Nityananda's birth, activities, and so on. The Supreme Lord Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra. Lord Nityananda, who is Lord Haladhar Balaram, worshipped Lord Shiva in his form of his linga. This temple is situated close to the Lord's birthplace. Lord Nityananda's parents were extremely pious. His father, Hadai Pandit, was a very compassionate and detached from material life. His mother, Srimati Padmavati, was a very pious and chaste lady. She was a great devotee and the universal mother. Lord Nityananda Roy was the eldest son of the family. Everyone was captivated by his good looks. I have already described in detail his childhood pastimes in the earlier portion of this book, so for now, I will give only indications, otherwise the book will become voluminous. Lord Nityananda spent some years performing his childhood pastimes in the house of Hadai Pandit. The Lord decided to leave home, but he could not sever the bonds of affection of his mother and did not want to see her suffer. The parents could not live for a moment without seeing Lord Nityananda. Even a moment out of his sight seemed like a millennium to his mother and father. Hadai Pandit never went anywhere without his son. When Hadai Pandit went about doing his work, like going to the fields, attending to the pilgrims, or going marketing, Lord Nityananda would always accompany him. If perchance the Lord fell behind Hadai Pandit, his father would look frantically and frequently behind him to see whether the Lord was following him or not. The parents often embraced and fondled him, and the Lord's soft body, which was like butter, would melt with the bodies of his parents. Lord Nityananda became more dear to Hadai Pandit than his own life. The Supreme Lord is the Supersoul, therefore he knew all the desires of his father. Thus he remained in the house to make his father happy. One day, by divine arrangement, a sannyasi with a godlike appearance visited Lord Nityananda's house. Hadai Pandit welcomed him and looked after him very nicely with great pleasure. Lord Nityananda's father spent the whole night with the sannyasi talking about Krishna and his pastimes. As he was preparing to leave, early the next morning, the sannyasi asked Nityananda's father, "I have one request." Hadai Pandit replied, "Whatever you desire, you may have." The sannyasi said, "I am on a pilgrimage tour, but I do not have a good Brahmin as a companion. Give me your eldest son for a few days to be my companion. I will protect and look after him with my life. And your son will also be able to learn about the many places of pilgrimage we visit." The sannyasi's words greatly perturbed Hadai Pandit, who was a pure and pious Brahmin. Fraught with worries, he became weak and thought, "The sannyasi has begged for my very life, and I feel that if I refuse, then I will be ruined." Great personalities previously have offered even their lives to fulfill the desire of a sage or a renunciate. In the Puranas, we read that Lord Ramachandra was more dear to his father Dasarath than his own self. Once the sage Vishvamitra begged Dasarath to allow his son to come with him. It was very painful for Dasarath to depart from his son Lord Ramachandra, yet he did not refuse. "I feel myself to be in the same predicament. O Lord Krishna, please guide me and protect me in this dilemma. By divine arrangement, I have to take the position of Dasarath, and my son has to take the position of Lord Ramachandra. Otherwise, why is this happening to my son? And why does he have an air of detachment about him?" Hadai Pandit went inside to consult his wife. The chaste Padmavati, the universal mother, heard everything from Hadai Pandit and said, "Whatever you decide, my lord, is my decision too." Hadai Pandit returned to the sannyasi and put his son in his custody. He stood there crestfallen with his head hanging down, and Lord Nityananda left with the sannyasi. In this way, Lord Nityananda was able to leave his house. As soon as Lord Nityananda left, Hadai Pandit crumbled to the ground unconscious. He wept bitterly in separation from his beloved son and lord. His piteous cries could even melt a heart of stone. Overwhelmed with intense love and separation from the Lord, Hadai Pandit appeared to be in a state of total shock. He went about like a statue. The people said, "Hadai Pandit has become mad." For 3 months, Hadai Pandit stopped eating. But unlike ordinary human beings, he did not die or become emaciated. He remained alive only because of his attachment for the Supreme Lord. In this context, a person may question why the Lord left his house where he was so beloved. The correct answer to that question is that Lord Vishnu and his devotees, the Vaishnavas, possess unlimited potencies. Hence, their activities are inconceivable. Lord Kapila, saturated in transcendental knowledge, left his home and widowed mother for the sake of saving the entire creation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami walked out of his home and left his father, who was none other than the great Vaishnav Vyasadeva, never once looking back. Even a wonderful and affectionate mother like Sachi had to lose her son, who became the crest jewel of the sannyasis, and left her alone. Renunciation on the spiritual platform is not like ordinary renunciation. Who can understand the meaning of this? The Lord performs such pastimes for the liberation of all living entities. Such is the unparalleled mercy of the Lord. The moving story of how King Dasarath was separated from his dearest son, Lord Ramachandra, when he went to the forest, would bring tears to the eyes of even a meat eater. After leaving his home, Lord Nityananda traveled, carefree and happy, to many places of pilgrimage. He visited Gaya, Kashi, Prayag, Mathura, Dwarka, Bhadrak Ashram, etc. He visited the birthplace of Lord Buddha, and from there he went to the cave of Vyasadeva. In the south, he visited the temple of Lord Ranganath at the tip of India, where Lord Ramachandra built the bridge to cross to Sri Lanka. Then he went to the Malai Hills. He traveled through lonely fearlessly. He also visited Gopati, Gandaki, Sarayun, and Kaveri, Ayodhya, Dandakaranya, Trimala, Venkatanath, Sapto, and Gadavari. In Karnak Nagar, he visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Then he visited Reva, Mahishvati, Malatirtha, and Haridwar. His travels finally brought him to Mathura. He visited Gokula, the place where he had appeared in his previous incarnation as Lord Balaram. He roared with ecstatic emotion, but no one could recognize him as the original Lord Anantashesh. In Vrindavan, he felt like a young boy playing with the sand of Vrindavan and rolling on the ground. This feeling was constantly with him. He did not even feel like eating. He just wanted to roll and play in the dust of Vrindavan. No one could understand the inner mood of Lord Nityananda. He simply maintained himself on the nectar of loving exchanges with Krishna. On some rare occasions, he drank a little milk, and even then it appeared as if someone offered it to him unsolicited. While Lord Nityananda was living in this manner in Vrindavan, Lord Gaurachandra manifested himself in Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya was constantly engaged in the congregational chanting of the holy name in great ecstasy, but he felt sad because of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's absence. Lord Nityananda was waiting in Vrindavan for Lord Chaitanya to reveal his Sankirtan pastimes. As soon as he heard that Lord Chaitanya had begun his Sankirtan movement, he immediately came to Navadvip and stayed in the house of Sri Nandanacharya. Nandanacharya was a very elevated devotee, and he was happy to have Lord Nityananda Prabhu staying in his house. He saw that the Lord was very effulgent, like the brilliant sun. The Lord had a large body and was dressed in the clothes of a traveling renunciate. He was always grave and equipoised. Day and night he chanted Lord Krishna's holy name. He is the supreme, unequaled personality, non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Absorbed within himself, he often roared loudly like a lion, for he is the direct manifestation of Lord Balaram. His beautiful glowing face could have easily defeated 1,000 shining full moons. His captivating smile played sweetly on his exquisite lips. So white and radiant were his teeth that if a pearl were held next to them, the pearl would look like a faded and discarded piece of glass. His long, languid eyes stole the pinkish tinge of the early rising sun. His arms were long and reached down to his knees, and he possessed a robust chest and broad shoulders. His lotus feet were soft, and his gait was graceful. He spoke to everyone with kind words, which severed the bonds of material attachment within everyone's heart. The coming of Lord Nityananda to Navadvip was welcomed by all the devotees with shouts of joy. Who can describe the unlimited qualities of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the one who had the potency to break the sannyas stick of Lord Chaitanya? Lord Nityananda is so merciful that anyone who chants his name becomes purified. Even a gross materialist or an ignorant or fallen person can cross over this ocean of material nescience if he simply chants Lord Nityananda's name. His holy name is capable of purifying the entire material creation. Nandanacharya Prabhu was more than happy to have Lord Nityananda Prabhu stay in his house, and he looked after him with great care. Whoever hears Lord Nityananda's pastimes of coming to Navadvip will be blessed with love of God. Lord Vishvambhar heard of Lord Nityananda's arrival in Navadvip, and he felt great joy within. Earlier, Lord Chaitanya had given indications of Lord Nityananda's arrival to the Vaishnavas, but understand its import. The Lord had told them, a great personality will come to Navadvip within a few days. Lord Gaurachandra worshipped Lord Vishnu in his temple and then quickly went to meet all the devotees. He told them, last night I had a wonderful dream. A chariot came and stood in front of my door. The chariot's flag had a palm leaf drawn on it. This chariot was meant to carry one from this temporary material existence to absolute reality. The passenger of that chariot was a colossal figure. He carried a plow on his large shoulders. He was moving about as if he were restless. In his left hand, he carried a renunciate's water pot, which was wrapped over by cane reeds. On top, he wore a blue cloth, and his lower dress was also blue. A beautiful earring pierced his left earlobe. His whole appearance and demeanor gave me the impression that he was Lord Balaram. Then he repeated a question at least 10 or 20 times, saying, does this house not belong to Nimai Pandit? Never before had I seen such a formidable-looking mendicant. I felt great respect for this person, and I asked, I see that you are a great personality. Who are you? Smiling, he replied, I am your brother. Tomorrow we shall get to know each other. His words increased my delight, and I began to feel that he and I were the same person. In the middle of the narration, the Lord went into an ecstatic trance, and entering into the mood of Lord Balaram, he began to roar and shout loudly, bring me wine, bring me wine. His thundering voice seemed to burst the eardrums. Srivas Pandit said, listen to me, my dear Lord. The wine that you want is not to be found anywhere, but you and others will have it only if you distribute it. The devotees, a little afraid and trembling, stayed at a distance from the Lord. The Vaishnavas thought to themselves, there must be a reason for all this. With reddened eyes, the Lord recited small lyrical poems and ballads. Smiling, he softly and rhythmically swayed his body like Lord Sankarshan Balaram. After a while, the Lord returned back to his normal self. Then Murari Gupta, the beloved devotee and friend of Lord Ramachandra, began to explain the inner meaning of the Lord's dream. My feeling is that a great personality has come to Navadvip. I had told you earlier that we would soon meet a great personality. The Lord then said to Srila Haridas Thakur and to Srivas Pandit, go and find out where this great personality is. The two great spiritual stalwarts left on the order of Lord Chaitanya and roamed about Navadvip searching. On the way, they discussed, maybe Lord Sankarshan, Lord Balaram, has come himself. They went about looking everywhere with great happiness, but could not find a single trace of the person they were looking for. After 3 hours of intensive searching, they returned back. They humbly submitted their report to the Lord. We could not find him anywhere. We looked everywhere. We went to Vaishnavas' houses, spoke to sannyasis, went to the householders, even to the houses of the atheists and Mayavadis, but we were unsuccessful. We looked in every house in Navadvip. The only houses we did not see were the ones on the outskirts of Navadvip. Lord Gaurachandra smiled, indicating that Lord Nityananda was a very mysterious personality. In the Lord's present incarnation as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, some people only want to glorify Lord Chaitanya, but refuse to glorify Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Such a grievous sin is similar to worshipping Lord Krishna, Govinda, but not respecting Lord Shiva or Shankara. Such an abominable person will surely be condemned to eternal hellish sufferings. Lord Nityananda's incarnation is very mysterious and confidential. It is impossible for anyone to see him unless and until Lord Chaitanya himself reveals this secret. Although the living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, and it is his constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, he has eternally forfeited this opportunity to engage in Lord Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's devotional service. Unalloyed devotees such as Srivas Pandit and Haridas Thakur are fully realized in such esoteric understandings. Yet for some mysterious reason, they could not find Nityananda Prabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya, laughing mildly, said, come with me and let us go find him. All the devotees became very jubilant and chanted, all glories to Krishna, and they accompanied the Lord. The Lord took all the Vaishnava devotees and went directly to the house of Nandanacharya. Everything was already known to the omniscient Supreme Lord Sri Gaurachandra. Inside the house, they saw a great personality, effulgent like a million suns. Without proper spiritual vision, one cannot see Lord Nityananda. A sweet smile played on his lips, and he was totally absorbed in meditation on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord saw before him a towering spiritual stalwart, and Lord Vishvambar, along with all the devotees, offered their obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. They stood up respectfully and kept standing without speaking a word. Lord Vishvambar stood at the head of all the Vaishnavs. Lord Nityananda saw Lord Vishvambar and recognized him as the beloved Lord of his heart. Lord Vishvambar was looking so beautiful, even more beautiful than Cupid himself. A fragrant flower garland hung around his neck. His face was decorated with sandalwood paste, and he had nice, fine clothes. What is glittering gold next to the Lord's aura? The full moon has lost interest in her own beauty, and she yearns to see the glowing face of the Lord. How enchanting they look, Nityananda and Lord Gauranga, as they roam about Navadvip with the devotees chanting the holy name of God. What is the luster and value of pearls next to the Lord's teeth? One is sure to lose his mind at the sight of the Lord's beautiful cascading black hair. All other lotuses look faded and artificial next to the pinkish, graceful lotus eyes of the Lord. His long hands extend down to his knees, and the thin line of his Brahman thread hangs loosely across his broad and expansive chest. A thin and perfect tilak decorates his broad forehead. Without any jewelry or ornaments, every limb of his beautiful body looks exquisite and captivating. Whence goes the brilliance of millions of precious gems compared to his dazzling nails? What use do I have for ambrosia when I see the sweet smile playing on my Lord's lips? Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet.